Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
The last time she spoke to me, it was to explain how cars can spy on you. Mm-hmm. This time, I think it's even creepier. The new Google Pixel 8 phone is taking filters to a whole new level. So when is a photo not a photo anymore? Well, Elaine Burke, science and technology journalist, is here now to discuss all and actually has the phone with her.
Yeah, the Google Pixel 8 Pro is packed with these AI image editing capabilities. It's actually through the Google Photos app. And it's a combination of some technology that's been added to the phone so that it can do this AI processing on device, as they say, but it also connects to Google servers through the Google Photos app. And essentially what you're doing here is you're kind of training Google's AI by using this. So they're promoting it really, really heavily in their ads. You can see people are manipulating images, changing people's faces, making sure that everyone's smiling in a photograph. There's one example in one of the ads where a father is throwing a baby up in the air and the mother edits the photo so that it's higher in the air. And I don't know why you would do that other than to terrify a grandmother.
But
that's something that you can do. You can move objects in the photograph. But when you set it up on the phone, you find that there's like a notification when you set it up to say, this is a beta product, which basically means it's in testing and you are now part of the user testing. So you're helping Google improve its AI products by doing this. So they're promoting it heavily because they need to advance their AI projects as quickly as possible so they can make more of this stuff that they can sell to companies. So that's something to bear in mind with this technology, is that you're kind of part of a big experiment as
so
well.
So what is the unique selling point? So what are they, like, what is the line? What is it that's going to get people to get this?
It is like the photo editing capabilities are a big selling point, but the phone itself, I mean, it's really powerful. It lasts a really long time for quite a powerful phone.
Yeah.
You should get a full day's heavy use out of it, which is not something you can say for all mainline devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, got a good promise in it. Actually, when you're making an investment for quite an expensive phone, this has promised 7 years of updates. Now, that's 7 years from release. So up to October 2020, this phone will be supported with software updates, which is a good thing. And that should become more commonplace.
But you're part of an experiment.
Yes, 100%.
Elaine, that's the creepy part. And I want to talk about that. What has the reaction been like to the way the phone is being advertised? Have people been going bananas online?
A lot of response has been to this idea of manipulating photographs and the implications of that.
Yeah.
And there's lots and lots to talk about there. That's why I'm here today, you know. People are talking about how it's manipulating your memories. Now, I would argue your memory is a very fallible thing anyway. And that's actually something really to bear in mind. There was an experiment done by psychologists where they showed people a picture of them as a kid next to like a hot air balloon and convinced them that they had been on a hot air balloon ride as a kid. And a lot of them believed that, even though they'd never had experienced that, just through the power of a photograph.
Yeah.
So manipulated photographs actually are able to manipulate your memories. So that's something.
I know that from having children, because my daughter would go, I remember that time I had the chicken pox and I had lollipops in your bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, no, you don't. Because you were three and you've no real memory until you're four. But I have a video that I took and I show you, and you've seen the video of it. But she's like, no, I remember that. So that's where the danger is. Is there any, is it regulated? I mean, do you have to tell people that this photo, like people will just not be able to tell if it's a real photo or if that dad is really flinging that child five foot into the air?
There is kind of work ongoing with regulators around the world to try and figure out how to put reins on this AI technology and the manipulation power of generative AI, which is this thing that's just exploded on the scene as of late last year. It's only been around a year and already it's really become so commonplace. People are seeing everywhere, introduced into new phones and all that kind of stuff.
And also evidence in a court of law. How is that going to be reliable anymore?
Yeah, and witness testimony is already unreliable evidence as well. So this becomes really, really complicated. But what they're looking at is doing things like watermarking images and video that have been manipulated using AI.
Okay.
So that would require cooperation on the front of the technology developers. So the likes of your Google and stuff like that would have to implement a watermarking technology at the creation stage. So as you're manipulating the photos on your Pixel 8 Pro, there should be basically a digital fingerprint attached to that code in that image that any system will be able to detect and find that, oh, this image was definitely manipulated using AI.
But so it's not there yet.
It's not there yet. No.
But you can still manipulate these photos.
Yes, 100%. So you can make it that, like, there's a photograph of you with someone and maybe you were having not a good time with them. I think of that meme of the guy talking in the girl's ear in the nightclub and she's clearly not interested in what he's saying. We could change that photograph if we had an alternative face of hers to make it that she's smiling. Now, you can't create, with the best take feature, what that's called, you can't make it that you make someone smiling who never smiled. But if you had an alternative photo of that person where they were smiling, you should be able to plant that face in
and
there.
I'm sure,
and it just changes the tone of that photograph.
It completely does. It completely does. But it could get people into a lot of trouble as well. I mean, we were talking about getting your own back on people. If you had a vendetta against someone and if you had this device, it's a dangerous tool to have.
Yeah, like the idea of manipulation of media and how that circulates so quickly online before it gets disproven and debunked, and the pace at which the debunkers can follow that media being shared online is a real challenge and has played out right before our eyes in terms of the what's happening in Israel and Gaza at the moment, because lots of not just faked footage, but footage from events that are completely not associated with what's happening there is being used and positioned in a way that it says, oh, this is actually crisis actors pretending to be dead people in white...
Oh, we saw it with the war in Ukraine. I mean...
100%. Yeah.
It's frightening. Now, Google were ready for the criticism. So how have they responded?
Well, they've just kind of... they've said, we have considered the ethical considerations. Mm. And then that's the full stop, end of the sentence, move on. Here, it's great technology, use it, use it, use it. These companies... The big companies would have like ethics boards and ethical bodies, especially in terms of the AI side of things. Now, Google, for tech journalists, would famously have had disruption among the ranks of its AI ethics crew. They had some of the best AI ethicists out there for, in my opinion, working for them. Timnit Gebru was one of them, and she was fired for actually standing against some of the stuff that they were doing. So there's, you know, there's a lot of questions to be raised about how their ethics committees are maybe being influenced by the goals of the company. And the bottom line for these companies, like I said, is to develop AI products to be absolutely profitable. OpenAI, which is the company that developed ChatGPT, they went from being a company no one had ever heard of to being, you know, becoming nearly a household name overnight. Certainly ChatGPT is something that people would in every household would have heard of by now. And their projections were to become, say, $1 billion revenue stream to $100 billion revenue stream in the matter of like a year or two. Like, that's the kind of money that's being
And you know what's
here.
Frightening about this for me is, like, I'm okay with you having it. That's cool, because that I feel fairly safe with that. But that person who maybe has a bit of a vendetta or is a bit bored or wants to make someone's life a misery, that I've no control over them buying that phone or having that use of that technology. That it feels so like it's out of our hands. There's nothing we can do as punters, as the general public, to stop this. Because if it's for sale, anybody can get their hands on it. Now, the UK are hosting a big conference on AI at the minute. The US have announced a major new AI policy. Is it all a bit too late?
I feel for the regulators in this case, because like I said, with the generative AI stuff, this was something that was speculative technology. And then very, very quickly wasn't. Hmm. So even the EU AI Act, which has been in development for a good few years and actually was looking to be, for the first time, regulators keeping pace with technology development, as soon as the generative AI explosion came about late last year, that was behind. They had to start adding generative AI as a phrase to the AI Act that was just that they thought was nearly final and then wasn't. So in some respects, it is too slow. But in another sense, how could they keep up? Like, no one could have foreseen the growth of ChatGPT. And I suppose one of the issues there is that you can publicly release this stuff as a beta test. You know, it's not something that has been heavily validated. That's why ChatGPT does things where it produces things that are incorrect all the time. It is still in an experimental phase as a technology. And because you could do that, that's quite dangerous. So they are talking about maybe there should be some more ring fencing on how products are released. Part of the EU AI Act, there's actually something in tandem with that called the Liability Directive, the AI Liability Directive. So the way product makers and manufacturers have to make sure that products in the EU reach a certain standard for safety, that things sold to children won't fall apart and have little pieces that they can choke on and things like that. Those kind of standards aren't really applied to digital technologies in the same way. So that's where they're really behind. We allowed things like social media to grow in that space where mm-hmm. it was quite a wild west. And things like you can have a platform of billions of users that's moderated by thousands. Like those numbers don't add up for moderation. And that was allowed to happen very easily. And it's really hard to put that genie back in the bottle at this stage. So they are trying to get ahead of it with the AI stuff. Like you said, the UK is looking at its AI summit. UK is definitely seemingly trying to take a very industry positive approach here, because the other thing that's happening here is these governments are competing to be the AI economy as well. So Biden coming out with that announcement saying that the US is going to be at the forefront of AI regulation and we're going to take the lead on this is actually showing that they're an attractive economy for AI development as well. Mm-hmm. So all of this is also about, again, getting the investment, the economic investment, the economic power of AI.
Now, listeners will be well used to filters and all that kind of stuff. Is this just the next stage of editing your life? I mean, is there any good side of it?
Yeah, like there is something interesting there. And that's actually something I talked about on my own podcast recently when it came to AI and music. Because, you know, it's like, where do you draw the lines? What's manipulation and synthesization, and how far do we want to go with that compared to what's refinement and what's just kind of manipulating things to make them that bit better? So a good example of that is what's been done with the Beatles song, which is coming out, which is using a very, very old recording of John Lennon's voice. And they said that what they've done is similar to what they did for the Get Back documentary, where they isolated audio and enhanced it and made it basically releasable material, something that will actually play on the radio and sound good enough and up to the Beatles standard. So you could see that as audio refinement as much as you could see it as audio manipulation or synthesization. And when Auto-Tune first came out, we were all, but there was plenty of backlash against that and people saying like, oh, it's just making non-singers sound like better singers and that's terrible. But Auto-Tune is used all the time now. So we very quickly go from, oh, this is terrible and we shouldn't use this at all to, well, actually, this is just a development.
Auto-Tune me straight away.
Yeah,
Auto-Tune. Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. I suppose, if anything, the only people who can safeguard themselves from this are people who never, ever, ever have put a picture online of themselves.
Yeah, and you talked a bit there, and it's a really good point to make about bad actors and how they might use this technology. And tech-facilitated abuse is a thing, like very much a thing. There's so many different ways that people can be harassed and abused using technology, and this adds more to that fire. Yeah. And these are basically unpredicted. I say unpredicted, but they're not unanticipatable, if that's even a word. Companies that develop these technologies should be thinking about the worst case, the bad actor or use of their technologies. And it may be that they consider that, but then they're just like, well, we won't think about that and we'll just push for the positives. So the way that social media can be used to manipulate and harass people, the way that trackers, those little tags that you can use to track your suitcase when
and
you
your
go on
children,
holidays.
If you're in a theme park.
You could use that to track someone that you're not supposed to be interacting with, like as a stalker or something like that. And that has happened. And it was like a case that companies didn't engage with the kind of organisations that could have warned them that this is the way that this technology will be used. Like Cyber Awareness Ireland has launched a campaign around this idea of tech facilitated abuse, and they've lots of great resources in that. There's so many ways that tech abuse manipulate and abuse people. And this idea of face swapping and stuff like that, and like so much of deepfakes online, the process of creating material about people, video or images that they actually weren't
in
part of. So much of that is used to make porn of people, non-consensual pornographic imagery and non-consensual pornographic videos of people. Like, how has Google prevented this technology being used in that kind of way? Now, like I said, with Best Take, where you can plant faces on people, it is trying to match the faces that you already have in your library. So it's a case of when you take 6 or 7 photos and you're trying to get the photo where everyone's smiling and there isn't one of those, it tries to create that for you. So they're not creating a place where you can just plant anyone's face on anyone's body or anything like that. But if they did, I could guarantee you that's how it would be used.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope it made you guys think after that about putting images of maybe your children online or yourself if you want to safeguard yourself. But it's quite a scary place to be in right now. But I really enjoyed that chat. You've terrified me, but thank you. Elaine, thanks for coming in. Elaine Berg, tell us about your podcast. Where can people listen?
It's called For Tech's Sake. That episode about tech-facilitated abuse is from the first season. We're in our second season now. And find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Excellent stuff.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.